Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank, praise, and glorify you that you've called us here today by the power of your Spirit, that through your love and through your mercy, you want us to be the redeemed, restored, renewed children of God with a new beginning. And today, Father, as we've come before your altar and confessed our sins, we have heard the words of forgiveness. Help us, Father, to accept those words and to release by the power of your Spirit all the sin that is in us, no matter how old or how recent. Let it be washed away in the flood of the blood of the Lamb, that we truly stand before you sinless because of your grace and have a new beginning in Christ our Lord, that we might go forth from here praising you and showing to the world around us the joy that is in our heart, by our smiles, by our words, and by our actions. All this we ask in Jesus' most holy name. And all God's people say, Amen. Our text for this morning's consideration are the last few lines of the epistle for today. And if you'd like to follow along, that'll be on page 7 of your bulletin. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, truly, truly, we are here today to celebrate two important events. The first event is the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus, whereby he went to John, asked to be baptized. John said, oh, no, wait a minute. I should be baptized by you. You don't have to baptize me. Said John, I should be baptized by you. But Jesus, you should be baptized by me. But Jesus was. And the scripture tells us why. And we'll look at that in a moment. But all the lessons for today have a number of things in common. And one of the things they have in common is water. Water, right? Water. We all need water. I don't know about you, but we carry water in our car wherever we go. And some of you who may be like me with medications, you need water. I've got a little thing on my phone now. It's kind of cool. I think it's 3 hours, it beeps and says, drink a glass of water, drink a glass of water, drink. See, when you get old like me, you have those cool things to deal with. And so, but water, you know, it's so important. And I know that the other day, Norm and I were talking, and if you're anything like us, we love the sunshine. We really enjoy it. But we also like the rain, and we need it, don't we? We need the rain for all kinds of reasons, because without water, the earth would shrivel up. And so, personally, I'm not a whole much disturbed by this global warming, because it's creating more water. Now, we don't know where it's all going to go yet, do we? But water is wonderful, and we need it, and we can't survive without it. And so, the important thing to note, though, is that not only do we need it for this temporal existence, but we needed it for our eternal existence. And that water that we needed was the water of baptism. And it was not the water that made things so great. It was water combined with the Holy Spirit of God and with his word. It's interesting, isn't it? When Jesus was baptized, there was water, the Spirit of God, and God's own words. It was God himself who spoke to Jesus and said, "Thou art my Son with whom I am well pleased." And so the water we find around us all this time telling us that, it's God's plan that water be a part of our life, and by that also a part of our eternal life. But I wondered, why did Jesus go to be baptized? There's no doubt in my mind why we were baptized. Because we came forth from the womb filled with original sin, the sin of Adam. But Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God. Why did he go to be baptized? Have any of you ever pondered that? Why did Jesus need to go to be baptized? Well, it says in the scriptures, and John came baptizing in the desert region, preaching a baptism for repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. Then why did Jesus go? If Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God. But you know, we don't have to go too far to the scriptures or in the scriptures to find the answer to that. The answer is simply that Jesus was true man and true God. And that through Mary, he inherited his humanity. And through Mary, he also inherited original sin. But he never yielded to the temptations like you and I do, because he is and was the spotless Lamb of God. But nonetheless, he went to be baptized, and he says, so that all righteousness could be fulfilled. The scripture teaches us that there's two elements to that righteousness. First of all, that all be done in accordance with God, who alone is righteous. The second aspect of that righteousness is that God's righteousness is applied to you and to me by grace through his Holy Spirit. That happened here a few moments ago when I announced the grace of God unto all of you and forgave you all your sins in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You now have the righteousness of God. And you'll receive it again in a few minutes when we gather before this altar and you receive the bread and the wine along with the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, you receive the righteousness of the Lord, the righteousness of the Lord that frees you from all original sin so that you have the power of God living within you. Now, on Thursday evenings, I attend a Bible class over at Calvary Chapel over in Clinton. Some of you may know where that is. And it's a Bible class that I started going to a little over a year ago because a young man whom I met through my work with the Sheriff's Department needed some spiritual help. And I heard about this Bible class. In fact, you may all remember Gene Schmidt from our congregation. He had been going to that Bible class. So we went to that Bible class. It was kind of interesting. In that Bible class, we're reading the book of Romans. And if you have a Bible in your pew, I'm going to invite you to open to this, to the book of Romans chapter 1. And what we'll be reading at here is a continuation of the epistle lesson which we read a few moments ago. And we're going to start at verse 16. And it says, "The righteous shall live by faith." That's the title, Romans chapter 1. And it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We would be considered amongst the Greek. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Then it goes on. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived." And it goes on. "Since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God
for the images resembling mortal man, and birds, and animals, and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women, and were consumed with passion for one another, committing themselves acts with men, and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. This was written about 2,055 years ago. But if we knew nothing other than what's going on in our world today, we say, wow, that's about what's happening in our country today, isn't it? About what's happening in our world today. All this manifestation of sinfulness is all around us and in us as well. That's why I really appreciate what Marge had to say when she said, I like the confession where I say, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you. Join me in saying that. We'll say a few words of that. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquity with which I have ever offended thee, and for which I deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. Wow. Powerful words, isn't it? While we were doing this discussion, one of the men in the class said, I hate that section from Scripture. And the leader of the group said, why? He said, I hate that section of Scripture because it just reminds me of me. And how true that is for all of us, isn't it? We can easily point the finger at others and say, boy, I sure wish so-and-so read this, or I sure wish this and that politician knew this. We can all do that. But God gives us his word, not just to lay on others, but to lay on ourselves, on our hearts and on our minds. And that we would not become involved, where it says, not only to them, but to give approval to those who practice them. If we don't stand up for God's word, we are tacitly giving approval to all them and us who do these things. And so when we consider that is our nature to be sinners, we praise God that although we are sinners, we are not sinful. Because a few moments ago, you heard the forgiveness of God proclaimed by one who's been authorized by God to do that. In a few moments, you will receive the sacrament of the altar, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which again cleanses you from all sin. And because you are the redeemed, baptized children of God, you went through the water and you had the word of God spoken over you, and the Holy Spirit was present in that room and came upon you. And it says that when Jesus, after he had received the Holy Spirit, he went out and he began ministering, because he now is empowered by the power of God's Holy Spirit which came unto him. And so we have been redeemed from all sin. And by baptism, we have the forgiveness of sin. Ponder this for a moment. John was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And Mark continues, the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. And continuing in verse 11 of Mark, Mark teaches us, at that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, was baptized by John in the Jordan. Why did that happen? And it says, baptism for the repentance, for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus was a spotless Lamb of God, but he still came to God for forgiveness of the natural sin that was in him through his mother. You and I come to God because of the natural sin that is in us, because of our heritage, that all the generations that go on before us had that original sin. And God has washed it away in the flood of the blood of the Lamb and in our baptism. And we will receive that again, that forgives the sins in the body and blood of Jesus as we partake of that. Matthew offers the largest amount of detail describing the scene and the events of Jesus' baptism. Matthew writes this. Jesus says to John, John says to Jesus, why are you coming to me for baptism when I should be baptized by you? And so too, we now have been baptized by Jesus. We have received the redemption that comes from his power. It's interesting when we talk about this group that we're in, how people were saying that, wow, yeah, that section in Romans is kind of depressing. It lays it all out. All the sins are right there. It's like me looking in a mirror and seeing all the stuff. And if we do that and stop there, surely we would of all people be most depressed. But because we have been baptized, what shall we do? Go on sinning, as our epistle lesson says? And how should we answer? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. There was a fellow sitting next to me during that class, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, Walt, there's something missing in this group right now. And I said to him, what is it? And he said, victory. He said, victory's missing in this group. They've all let themselves become victims again. They've let themselves fall under the weight of their sin and fall into despair, if you will. And surely there were people in there who you could see despair coming from them. You could hear despair coming out of them. But we have been baptized to victory. We are victorious. We are not victims. We are the victorious children of God. And so let's turn to our epistle lesson in the scripture for today again. Will you please turn with me to page 7 in your bulletin? And let's read again from the second full paragraph there on page 7, beginning with if. Let's pray that together, shall we? If we have been buried with him, this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died from sin has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until life everlasting. Amen. We now worship God with our affirmation of baptism. Please stand.